We'll be looking at resting in Christ, in coming to him. And so I'm going to pray for us as we do that. Let me pray. Beloved Father, our awesome, our great God, we ask again that you would grant us now by your Spirit this morning, because of the finished work of Christ, your Son, Jesus, our King, that you would grant us, Father, please, rest in him. Deep and wonderful, sweet rest, Father. And please grant us over these weeks ahead, I pray, rest in deeper ways, particularly at this time, Father, in our lives. Sweetness and joy that you so intend for us, your beloved children, that rest that we have, that rest that is ours in Christ, that we might see and enjoy and worship all the more in that true rest that's found in him. So glorify him now in our hearts. Lift Jesus high, Father, by the work of your Holy Spirit, even the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, who dwells in us, your holy people. We pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Many of you will know that since early on, our church community has practiced the sabbatical principle found in the scriptures, of course, of rest, Sabbath, Jubilee even. And since the early days of Westview, our church family have encouraged all those involved in serving, particularly in leadership roles, to take every seventh year off from their role and responsibilities in order to have a Sabbath, to have a rest. And last year marked my first of these sabbaticals. It was in many ways a very strange season for me. A privileged season, don't hear me wrongly, a wonderful gift from the Lord, enabled by you, his people, our church community, but a strange time in many ways. So much of your identity is wrapped up, isn't it, in what you do, unfortunately. And so taking that away from someone does strange things to your mind, but it was a wonderful gift. It's been designed to refresh and rejuvenate those in ministry, to renew and allow space to seek the Lord for the next season ahead, to try new ministries, to try new forms of things, to have time with the family in a different way, to take a Sabbath rest. And let me just say, I've probably said it before, but thank you. but be encouraged that, as I shared, I remember being in a group of pastors, it was probably about 20 of us or so, not too long ago, and sharing about what we do here with the whole year of Sabbath. And they were blown away. they really were. And actually, it's encouraged a number of churches to take it more seriously. Maybe not to the extent that we do, or that to the point that we do, but certainly that idea of rest is increasing in the churches that I'm connected to, that we're connected to. Maybe it seems appropriate that after this time of rest, that I speak about resting in Christ. I probably don't need to labor the point, pun intended, that we live in a world, brothers and sisters, especially right now, don't we? We live with bodies that are restless, souls that are restless. It's how we find ourselves outside of that great garden that we were made to be in, outside of God's perfect intention for us. As people, we're searching not ultimately for the ceasing of work, though, are we? I think that's probably something we think we're looking for. We're looking for work to finish. But as we could ask any of our brothers and sisters here this morning who's apparently retired, we find the truth that we're not searching ultimately for the ceasing of work or the ceasing of having a job, doing something. That's not ultimately what we're after in rest, is it? We're not satisfied with that. The Australian dream, we could say, is a mortgage paid off a house, self-sustained living, living comfortably. But this does not actually satisfy the craving of our souls. Just ask anyone you know who has that. Our soul, our true and eternal rest, is not satisfied in the ceasing or even in the accumulation of stuff. So this is not what we mean then by rest. Of course, we know that. But rather, we're speaking of being truly refreshed. The real relief, we could say, the ultimate relief. We're speaking about the eternal nourishment and refreshment, the very peace, the Hebrew word shalom, that great peace, that great rest of our souls, to rest in God, to rest in Christ. Gareth's just given us a wonderful picture of that for the kids and for us, to rest from striving. The psalm we read earlier this morning puts this rest like this, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, remember, this is the image of the sheep. You know, he makes us, the sheep, lie down in green pastures, you know, where we have what we need to survive, what we need to live. He leads us beside still waters, literally waters of rest. He restores my soul. This is the picture, isn't it, that we are talking about here this morning. That restoration, that true peace, that eternal rest of the soul in God. Because, as we said, we live in a world that says to us that we must strive and strive and strive some more to receive real rest. And you can almost insert anything into what they say rest is. But if you strive, if you do this, if you do that, if you do this, if you get this, if you get that, then you'll really be satisfied. And we, the people of God, know, don't we? And so often by our own experiences, unfortunately, that doesn't work. That we must strive, of course, doesn't work. Surprise, surprise. We never find what we are told we will find. It's a vapor, it's a mist, it's unattainable by our performance or our career status. And our weariness leaves us troubled. When we go for these things and they fall short at giving us what we're promised they will, we're left empty. We're left troubled and anxious and overwhelmed. Isn't that how our world is feeling right at this moment? Troubled and anxious and overwhelmed. Restless. And I'm not saying none of that is for good reason. The truth is that our brother, as a brother of ours said, I said it at the carols, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. That true and eternal rest, brothers and sisters, is found in the one who made us for himself, the one who is himself our peace and our rest. And so then this morning I want to reflect together in our time on one of these three biblical ideas. As I said, over these 3 weeks we'll look at this in three ways. And this morning I want to reflect particularly on resting in Christ by coming to Christ, by coming to him. And so let's look again at this passage that Gareth has just read. Let's reread that together. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will, or for it so pleased you. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden or weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are incredible words, aren't they, spoken here by our Lord Jesus. Maybe they're some of your favorite words, I don't know. I'm sure that they've got to be up in your list somewhere. They're wonderful words, aren't they? Come to me. I'm sure I've told you before that one of my favorite passages of Scripture is when Jesus is found on the lips of the guards, rather, who come to Jesus. You might remember, I'm sure I've said it here before, they're sent to arrest Jesus, the guards, by the Pharisees, and they come back empty-handed, and the Pharisees are a bit like annoyed at them. You know, why didn't you bring him? And do you remember what they said? Why did you not bring him? The guards answer them with these stunning words of insight, don't they? Simple words. No one ever spoke like this man. Probably one of my favorite quotes of scripture. If I'm meeting with someone who doesn't yet know Jesus or is on the verge of the kingdom, I love mentioning these words. Because if you don't actually read Jesus' words, you're not exposed to how no one ever spoke like this man. And I mean, we can philosophers and so on can say throughout the ages that Jesus is, you know, just another kind of guru on the chain. But the fact is, when you actually read his words, that just doesn't cut it. Come to me, Jesus said. If you've read anything in the Old Testament, right now you're saying to yourself, huh? Come to me? Not thus says the Lord, not come back to Yahweh, come to God, come to me. This is stunning. No one ever spoke like this man. I want you to notice it here. Jesus doesn't say, all who labor and are heavy laden, come to the Father. It's just incredible. He doesn't say, come to God and you will find rest for your souls, which is, of course, a legitimate thing to say and a true thing to say, as the Psalms show us. No, he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No one ever spoke like this man. Come to me, Jesus says. I will give you rest. I will do this. And Jesus is inviting all people to come and to find rest for their souls in him. So the invitation here is for us to come, to take upon themselves. The people Jesus is speaking to here were so tempted, weren't they, as Gareth so helpfully painted for us with that analogy, that to take on things, especially the Old Testament law, the Torah, as their yoke and their burden. This is what the Pharisees put on their shoulders. Hey, you need to do this and that and this and that if you want to be perfect. Be like us. It was the master that they were enslaved to, wasn't it? The law. And in fact, even more than the law, as the Pharisees so helpfully added. Rather, to take on Jesus' teaching as his disciple and learn from him is what Jesus says. To take up their cross and follow him. Yet it's a burden, isn't it, that is light, and a yoke that is easy, which sounds strange. Someone's helpfully said this: paradoxically, those who take Christ's yoke on them have rest. Rest now and eternal rest in the hereafter, they say. Those who bear Christ's yoke, or his load, his burden, his teaching, right? His load, his burden, his teachings. Those who bear this, know rest at the center of their being. Isn't that true? Another writes this: what can be lighter than a burden which unburdens us and a yoke which bears its bearer? I'll read that again because it's very helpful. What could be lighter than a burden which unburdens us and a yoke which bears its bearer? The problem is that our world and we ourselves, as we know, so often look for satisfaction in the wrong places. I'm included. Even with good things, We look for satisfaction, but the satisfaction of the soul is ultimately not found in anything else apart from Christ. Careers or freedoms or family or human relationships, they cannot satisfy the deep longing of our souls. And that is why we are still restless even with the best of these things. The best gift is when we feel the restlessness. The best gift is when God draws it to our attention. Jesus only is the one who can truly satisfy our soul's longing, our soul's need. This only is where true worship takes place, as the soul finds its rest in God alone. Satisfaction and worth in Him. Peace and calm in God. Security and identity in Christ Jesus. So the psalmist writes, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Yes, my soul finds rest. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him." Unfortunately, the religious leaders of Jesus' day had, of course, by and large rejected Jesus. You well know that. They were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel. They were supposed to be the ones caring for the sheep, serving them, teaching them, protecting them from harm. But rather, they'd only put burdens and weights on their backs. They were the ones serving themselves and protecting themselves. And Jesus paints this really helpfully for us in Matthew 23. Jesus says to the crowds and to his disciples there, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do." Do not do the works they do. "For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others." They do all their deeds to be seen by others. The Pharisees and scribes, the Jewish leaders, had led from the front in how not to approach God, hadn't they? We think of the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee just as one example of that. Leading from the front in how not to approach God as proud and hypocritical. As someone said, the Pharisees had developed a system of 613 laws, 365 negative commands, and 248 positive laws. By the time Christ came, it had produced a heartless, cold, and arrogant brand of righteousness. End of quote. A heartless, cold, and arrogant brand of righteousness. Wow. May it never be said of any of us. And so Jesus speaks into this climate. This is what's going on when Jesus speaks these words. It's helpful for us to feel that. To those who are truly weary from trying to follow faulty leadership. Weary over their farness from God. Restless because they can't keep, they can't carry the burdens, the bricks that they were given. The Pharisees believed that they could be right with God by what they did. That their performance could be sufficient. Let me ask you truly this morning, whether you're here or whether you're at home, is that how you're living right now? That how what you do can be sufficient? Trusting in your performance, seeking your satisfaction by looking within yourself. Do you know how you know if that's the case? Are you disappointed with yourself? Because you can't live up to your own standard, let alone God's holy standard. It's the work of God, isn't it, in the heart of sinners to cause us unease, to bring us conviction over our sin. And the knowledge that in ourselves we cannot be right with God. We can never be right with God in ourselves by our own doings. Jesus saw people in this place. This is who Jesus is speaking these words to. People in that place of overwhelmed grief at not being able to be good enough. troubled by the weight of trying to keep the law, laden by hopelessness, restless in themselves as they look at themselves and are so disappointed. People who are weary and burdened. Is that you this morning? Maybe you are weary with your sin. Maybe you're weary because you can't overcome it. Maybe you're weary from striving and failing to be everything that you think you should be. Maybe you're weary and burdened just in all that's going on in our world. Troubled and overwhelmed even. As more and more people you know are sick or are feeling the effects of whether it be COVID or whether it be just disease and illness and sickness and relationship breakdown. Brothers and sisters, this morning, let me encourage you with the simple truth. Look to Jesus. Don't we need that more than ever? Maybe we feel the need, I should say, more than ever to look to Jesus. O weary soul, O my soul, find rest in Christ alone. Jesus, who went to the cross for your sin. Jesus, who was beaten and mocked and spit upon for your sin. Jesus, who bore the wrath your sin deserved. Jesus, who suffered and died for your pardon, for my pardon, to bring us to God. And now, trusting in Him alone, resting in Him alone, we find ourselves forgiven and free and yet joyfully enslaved to God, who never does us wrong. I don't suppose there's many here, even watching maybe, who don't belong to Jesus. Maybe, I don't know your heart, God does. But whether here or wherever you are, if you're being drawn to the beauty of Jesus and what He's done, no one ever spoke like this man, and no one ever said, "Come to me and find rest for your weary souls." Come. The invitation this morning from Jesus to us, to everyone, is come. Come to me, Jesus says, and you will find rest for your souls. His words and His invitation are here for you right now to come. So come right now. Come to Jesus. You might say, "I've come." Come again. Come every day. Come throughout the day, moment by moment. Come to Jesus. I hear it in my own heart. JJ, come. I need rest in Him alone. I suspect that most of us, and there are burdens we know of some, most of us are feeling that sense, maybe not of the weariness of sin, but of the weariness of our world, of the weariness of sickness, of the weariness of seeing our friends suffer. Great heaviness that we're feeling. Even as Alan prayed this morning, it's like the list never stops, right? Does it feel a bit like that? Lee said when I was away, he had to write quite a few emails, and he kind of got a picture of some of the weight of just another thing comes in and another thing comes in and another thing comes in. And there you guys are receiving, you know, 40 emails in a week from me or something of just people in need. People in trouble. Unanswered prayers. Uncertain outcomes. Pain upon pain upon pain. Dear brothers and sisters, come to the fountain again this morning and drink deeply from your Lord Jesus. I love these words in John chapter 7. These beautiful words. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Guess what? The Spirit has been given. Jesus has been glorified. We have access to drink at the well of Christ every moment of every day. Come. If anyone thirsts, Jesus says, let them come to me and drink. And you might remember those beautiful words at the end of Revelation with a very similar essence there. Come to the waters and drink. Take and drink. Brothers and sisters, are you coming to the fountain right now? Maybe more than ever we're feeling the need for that fountain because we're overwhelmed. What a gift from God. What a gift from God for us to feel our great weakness. I've just been reflecting in the last week or so, Paul's thorn in his flesh. And I was reading someone who was saying, you know, he probably had this for like 14 years. Even when he's writing about it, he's probably had it all this time. And the Lord's not taking it from him. And what's he say? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul goes on to say, actually, I'm going to boast about it. I'm going to be pleased about it because it makes Christ's power great in my wings. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Brothers and sisters, are you coming to the fountain, to Jesus, your King, your Shepherd? Keep coming. There is nothing lacking for us in him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. He's provided everything that we need in Christ. He's given us his Spirit, his peace, his comfort, his eternal love. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, and we're going to sing a song now after communion that reflects on this thing, to lay down your burdens. Yes, sin, of course sin, but even trouble, grief, uncertainty, anguish, frustration, anger. Lay them down. Come to Jesus. He is so willing. He's so ready. He's right here with us. Let's come and find rest for our souls in him. Let me pray. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus, thank you that you took our greatest weight and burden to the cross, that you took our sin and shame, Father, and you laid it upon your Holy Son for us. You bore it, Lord Jesus, in your body on that tree, the punishment that our sins deserve. You took that yoke and burden for us. Please, Lord, grant us rest in you. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. And yet we do have so many burdens this morning, Father, so many hardships that so many of us are facing, Lord, so many I know that haven't even been shared about. Sorrow upon sorrow, difficulties, Lord, unanswered prayers and questions, even about why, Lord. And so we bring all these in the quietness, even now. And we ask that we might find rest in laying them down. Rest in Christ by coming to you now and again tomorrow and moment by moment by moment, laying it all down before you and finding in you, our Lord Jesus, everything we need and so much more so that we might overflow with joy and peace to the praise of your glorious grace. Amen.